who might have known, have played blackjack or know how it's played, if you could change the rules and every time you win at the casino, you get to keep half to 70% of your winnings, and every time you lose, you don't have to pay the dealer.
Yeah, I would go more if they did that. But they don't do that.
This is kind of sort of the way this portfolio works. In other words, you go up, you use indexes, you know, like S&P 500, Dow Jones, and there's some specific, in other words, it's, you're floating on the market in a way, but if the market falls down, you don't lose any hay. You don't ever lose any sleep, and you don't worry about your future being crashed on the rocks. If you're there, you still grow, and the bears can't come.
There you go. Just as simple as that.
Just as simple as that.
Call David Earnest at 279-7431. Check him out on Facebook at, what is it? It's Health and Wealth with David Earnest right there on Facebook.
Yeah.
And you can go to his webpage at www.retirewithearnest.com. And when you go to Facebook, there's a link that'll take you over to our YouTube channel. And you can listen to some of our older programs right there. And I believe it is time for us to load up on the bus to out of town and get out of here.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. So we'll be back again next time with more David Earnest and Health and Wealth.
Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need
matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/work. That's ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter.com/work.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. There's at least a small chance that you will encounter a shower or thunderstorm before they end later on tonight, but the overnight low temperature will drop to about 73. Tomorrow's going to be another hot day. I think the high temperature is at least around 93. Scattered thunderstorms a little bit more numerous tomorrow. They will be scattered, and still a lot of towns will get missed. But then Saturday and Sunday, thunderstorm coverage increases a bit. There'll be more storms to go around. Not a washout, and the storms will still be random. High temperatures in the low to mid-90s, then hotter weather as we get through that first week of July coming up next week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
With ASA Credit Union's free Kasasa cash checking account, you can earn 4% APY on balances up to $30,000. Qualifications and rules apply. See an ASE rep for more details. Federally insured by NCUA. Online at yourasecu.com. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE.
The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
You can't kill me, I will not die, not now, not ever. Never mind. I'm gonna live
Udell Building in hysterical Montgomery, Alabama, the capital of dreams. Hey, it must be so. It's on our trash cans. It's time for the River Region's only program dedicated to the seeking of truth, no matter what it uncovers or who it may implicate. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's time for the weeknight edition of Clearing the Air. As always, I am your humble host, an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, a man struggling to cope with the mind and body infested with the progressive bioweapon, the powers that shouldn't be, called Morgellons disease. Welcome to the program. My name is Terry Adams. Now, I also do a show on Saturday night, 6 till 9. It's on that program that I delve deeply with the assistance of the incomparable Postman into the more out-of-the-world elements of what's going on around this joint these days, and it's all connected. But this Saturday, Postman will not be with me. It's just going to be me. But tonight, just like tonight, I'm up here alone in the attic with no static, as God intended. It's just me and you, dear listener. I like it that way. Here's the important stuff. Don't believe a single thing you hear. It's not my intention to convince you of anything. It's not my desire to talk you into anything. And it's sure not my job to awaken you to the truth. I just put it out there. Do what you want to with it. Now, we all recall the infamous Green Deal that psycho AOC unveiled earlier this year, right? Well, I got an email today from Deborah Tavares, her site, stopthecrime.net. You may have heard me mention that, I don't know, a couple of hundred times. What I read in that email spells massive change and also crimes against the Constitution of this Democratic Republic. Let me share this with you. Category, kiss your gas goodbye. Climate change plans reveal no new petrol or diesel cars after 2030. Yes. These are the radical reforms. Now, this is from an insider. While what you will read in this article, after this insider comment talks about Ireland, keep in mind these plans have been adopted in your town, your city, your state, your nation, island, country. This is worldwide. We have no say in it, which is unconstitutional. The plan bans the sale of new petrol and diesel cars by 2030. Those remaining on the road after 2030 will not be issued new certificates after 2045. Now, that's NCT certificates, which is National Car Test. Of course, this is conducted by a private company to determine that your car is roadworthy or not. An example of how this works is this story of a man with an older car, low mileage, in impeccable condition, really takes care of his car. Now, his car failed the NCT because it didn't have airbags. The point is, the car was roadworthy, but they refused to pass it, which put the man off the road and rendered his car essentially worthless. This is how a private company will control transport. Thus, they will eventually be able to retire all gasoline diesel cars based on precedent and, I guess you could call it, royal dictate. If you don't have the money for an electric car, you're out of luck, and you'll be forced to use public transportation. Of course, you'll be tracked and exposed to the Tetra and other wireless, as well as 5G, 6G frequencies. Certainly, all newer cars will have a QRS chip, which allows them to be tracked. Of course, nobody, none of us consumers ask for a QRS chip, but we're going to pay for it anyway, because that's kind of how it works. There's a story of a farmer in Cork, Ireland. One night as he neared home, he decided to visit his neighbor on the farm that was adjacent to his. Now, they shared a few drinks, as people in Ireland tend to do, and as he made his way back to his farm, he drove off the road. The airbags deployed. Well, since no one was hurt, there was no damage done to anyone's property, he just decided to get out of the car and walk a couple of hundred yards to his own farm, thinking he'd come back in the morning to get his car. Around 3 o'clock a.m., there was a knock on his door. It was the local police. The police asked if he was the owner of the car with its airbags deployed in the ditch 100 yards up the road. The police told him they had received a call from the manufacturer that the airbags had deployed. They then charged the man and arrested him for drunk driving. Now, I'm not sure how this ended up, but the point is, if they did indeed find this man guilty, that sets a precedent. Under European law, it then becomes applicable across the entire European Union. We are much further along the road to total control of all our transportation than anyone ever realized, folks. The end of petrol and diesel cars in Ireland, as well as an end of oil and gas boilers in homes, has been announced by the government as part of a new climate change plan. In a dramatic bid to tackle climate change and meet our EU targets on emissions, councils will be handed the power to restrict access to certain parts of towns and cities to zero emissions vehicles only under this ambitious new environmental plan. And no petrol or diesel cars will be sold after 2030, with all such vehicles effectively banned from the roads by 2045. This new climate change plan will see no petrol or diesel cars that will be sold after 2030. Well, I just said they're just repeating themselves. The plan also says that a roadmap will be developed with a mix of taxation and subsidy policies in order to entice people to move towards electric cars. Now, let me interrupt here. I don't know if you caught the show, earlier this year on Saturday night when I talked about our electrical infrastructure cannot handle all these electric cars. A typical neighborhood in this country, let's say this city in Montgomery, a typical neighborhood, and let's say 50, 60 houses, would be able to support at most three high amperage fast chargers for electric cars. That's it. The infrastructure does not exist to allow everyone to fast charge their electric vehicles overnight. I'm sorry, it doesn't exist. It would cost billions, if not trillions, to update. And if they can update, why have they not done that to protect against an EMP already? I have so many questions. According to the government's climate action plan revealed yesterday by Tayo Sich Leo Vardekar and Environmental Minister Richard Bruton, a regulatory framework will be developed on low emissions and parking pricing policies to provide local authorities with their enhanced power. The Department of Transport will this year commission a review of the plan and recommend appropriate responses for Dublin, Cork, Galway, and Limerick in Ireland. The government's climate action plan was revealed yesterday by the two guys I just mentioned. It contains 180 measures to lower the country's carbon emissions, including incentives to encourage drivers to switch to electric vehicles, retrofitting gas boilers in homes, increasing the carbon tax, and a scheme to sell any electricity a home generates back into the grid. The government's plan aims to reduce Ireland's overall carbon emissions by 20% by 2030 before becoming carbon neutral by 2050. Once again, they repeat about the cars being banned. And once again, they do it again. The government's aims to have 950,000 electric vehicles on the road by 2030, and they are planning on this. And they're also planning to vastly increase the number of charging stations, which currently service around 10,000 electrical vehicles across the country. So they're 850,000 charging stations short. Now, this will include more than 90 high-powered chargers along the national road network, the installation of 50 new fast chargers, and the replacement of over 250 standard chargers. From 2025, new non-residential buildings with more than 10 parking spaces will have to have at least one recharging point installed. There will also be a minimum number of recharging points required for all existing non-residential buildings with more than 20 parking spaces. Well, let's see. There will be an effective ban on the installation of oil boilers from 2022 and on the installation of gas boilers from 2025 in all new dwellings through the introduction of new regulatory standards for home heating systems. This is what I've been talking about when I talk about smart cities. That's what this is all about. The reason they haven't told us what smart meters actually do, the reason they have not released the schematics, the reason they don't want us to know what's inside of a smart meter is because it's going to be the accumulator of all the smart appliances we're soon going to have. They're going to mandate here real soon, and I would suggest they're following Ireland, which will soon be EU's edicts on this. It's coming to America. You're going to have to replace every appliance in your home, probably by 2025, if I had to guess, with a smart stove, a smart refrigerator. Everything's smart because it's electrical. It has a wireless interface. And guess where all this information goes? First, it goes to your smart meter, where some kind of protocol, it's broken down, the information is sorted, and then it's sent to Big Brother. If I had to guess, I'd say right off the bat, the FEMA Fusion Center, St. Margaret's Hospital here, probably from there on to the big facility in Utah, be my guess. That way they can monitor everything you do with your stove, your refrigerator. They want to monitor every aspect of our lives. That's where this smart crap is coming in. By the way, did you know we had a smart city in Auburn, Alabama? Or a smart community, I guess I should say, not a city. But yeah, they just opened one up in Auburn. And Barry, if you know anything about that, please call. But yeah, they've actually opened some kind of smart neighborhood in Auburn, Alabama. Unbelievable. That's what this is all about. This is about total control. Now, the question is, why are they doing all this climate stuff? What's going on? Well, when it's 90 degrees at 10 o'clock at night, something's wrong. Now, they're saying that it's the CO2 that we humans have created. They're blaming us for this. Well, I don't know if this is responsible for all of this, but I can tell you that the metal particulates that are being released from the chem liners in the sky block the heat and prevent it from being displaced by the cooler air at night like it's supposed to be. You know, it's not supposed to be this hot. The hot air is supposed to go away when the sun goes down. Cooler air, and I'm not talking 50, I'm talking 65, 70 degree air, is supposed to displace that hot air at night. That's how it's always worked. I'm 58 years old. It's always been this way. It's not this way anymore. They're trapping the heat. Now, is that responsible for all of it? I don't know. It could be that, well, let me back up. We do know that all the planets in our solar system are heating up. Why? Planet X might explain this. I don't know. Planet X could explain the heating up of all the planets in our solar system as well as our own Earth. I can't back that up. I've read that. I don't know. But I do know that the metal particulates are causing part of this. Whether it's doing all of it, I don't know. I can't back that up. Okay. Minister for Communications, Climate Action, and Environment, Richard Bruton. There's also a plan to retrofit 400,000 homes and businesses with heat pumps, replacing existing oil and solid fuel boilers. The carbon tax is set to rise to at least 80 pounds per ton by 2030, which will be incrementally increased over successive budgets. A new microgeneration scheme will also be introduced, allowing homeowners to generate their own electricity and sell what they don't use back to the grid. I agree with that. That's a great idea. Actually, the technology exists where we could provide all the energy we need individually. Each of us could put a couple of windmill vanes on our roofs, the newer modern solar panels, and get one of Tesla's, the little electricity, I don't know what you would call it, like a state-of-the-art battery pack that fits on your wall, which can control all of the energy that the windmills and the solar panels you put up create. Because the problem with the technology is you have to store that energy because it's not always sunlight. You know, nighttime comes around, and so far, you have to be able to have electricity for that. The problem is you either got to get 50 or 60, you know, lead acid car batteries and stick them somewhere, keep them serviced to store that energy, or you can get one of the new Tesla wall things. They're, what, $4,500? I don't know. Anyway, the plan calls for the elimination of non-recyclable plastic and the introduction of higher fees on the production of materials which are difficult to recycle. Now, this proposal, which is in line with the new EU rules, also calls for the implementation of a ban on single-use plastic plates, single-use plastic cutlery, straws, balloon sticks, and cotton buds. I'm not making this up. Yeah. They want to go to 70-piece renewable energy by 2030, whatever that means. On the plan, the minister said, "We're making change now before it's too late. We recognize that government doesn't have all the answers, so we're willing to work with people, industry, and communities to chart the best and most inclusive way forward." There's that word, inclusive. That throws a huge red flag up. It should. Minister Richard Bruton continued and said government needed to act now to leave a better, healthier, more sustainable, Ireland for future generations. There's that other word. The plan sets out radical reforms which will cut our reliance on carbon, making our businesses more competitive, our homes more sustainable, and our farms more efficient, he said. Reacting to the climate action plan, Sinn Féin's climate spokesman Brian Stanley said, "The government does not have an ambitious enough action plan for renewable energy. We want to see our economy transition to a green economy. This has to be done in a manner that protects lower-income families and ensures that ordinary people do not carry an unjust share of the burden." Well, you know they will, because that's how it works, folks. Actually, the middle class will carry the majority of the burden because they're actively being destroyed by our government as I speak. It's kind of how it works. Enough about that. I hope you had an opportunity to listen to Joey's show. Actually, Greg's show. Joey actually sought me out and invited me to talk about, of course, I'm drawing a blank, the UFO guy. The UFO guy. I can't remember his name, but you know who I'm talking about. He asked me to come up and talk about that because there's been a new interview. Joe Rogan interviewed Bob Lazar. Rogan interviewed Bob Lazar, and I purposely didn't listen to that interview because I wanted to know what he said, because I know what he said in 89, and they match up perfectly. So he's still maintaining the same thing. Now, keep in mind, as crazy as what Bob Lazar says, he passed a lie detector test. He also has a W-2 from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. He did work there. Now, of course, they scrubbed everything because the first thing you do is character assassinate the people who are trying to expose the truth. They did a pretty good job of that. That's what they do. But I wanted to publicly thank you, Joey, for asking me to come on. Thank you for covering that topic. Thank you for kind of going off of the road that Greg kind of stays on. It's not a knock on Greg. Greg does what he does and does it better than anybody. But thank you for that little detour you allowed me today, Joey. I really appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Also, thank you, Mr. Rick Peters, for allowing me to play in this radio world of yours for 6 nights a week. I really, really appreciate it. I got a few things for you tonight. I've got a sighting, a very strange story that happened back in the 70s, 75, if I recall. Vietnam. Yeah. A sighting of some very, actually an encounter of some very strange critters over in the jungles of Vietnam. And an interesting thing is, I'm going to read you the story when we get back from this first break. Here's the interesting thing. There's a listener that emails me quite often, and I love exchanging ideas with him. But he was telling me about Moundville, Alabama, and how it's creepy. There's a certain part of Moundville where suddenly you don't hear any insects. You hear no noises that you typically hear in that type of terrain. And there's like there's something there. Either it's where ley lines intersect, something weird there. When I read the story about what happened in Vietnam, that's what every soldier said. They got to a spot in the forest where suddenly they realized we don't hear any of the noises that we always hear. There's no crickets. There's none of the birds. None of the animal sounds we're so used to hearing in the jungles of Vietnam, they're not here. Total silence. Eerie, creepy, that uh-oh kind of silence. Same thing happened in Vietnam that's happened in Moundville. Bizarre, huh? This is going to be an interesting story. When we get back, we'll get into that. I'm also going to get into something else. This listener I was just talking about sent me something. I already put the link on Clearing the Air about something called the Black Robed Regiment. Now, that title was given to patriotic American clergy during the founding of our country, and that title was given them by the British. It was a backhanded reference to the black robes they wore. Significantly, the British blamed this black regiment of pastors for winning America's independence. And rightfully so, because modern historians have documented that there is not a single right asserted in our Declaration of Independence which had not been discussed by the New England clergy before 1763. Uh-huh. Now, I know it's strange to today's generation to think that the rights listed in the Declaration of Independence were nothing more than a list of sermon topics that had been preached from the pulpit in the two decades leading up to the American Revolution, but that is exactly what happened, folks. But it was not just the British who saw the American pulpit as largely responsible for American independence and our government. Our own leaders agreed. For example, John Adams rejoiced that, quote, "the pulpits have thundered." Man, I love that. Thundered. And specifically identified several ministers as being among the, quote, "characters the most conspicuous, the most ardent, and influential in the awakening and a revival of American principles and feelings that led to America's independence." Where are those pastors now, folks? They're cowards. They're frickin' cowards. Stop kowtowing to the Luciferian psychopaths. If you're going to preach the Word of God, preach the Word of God. Across subsequent generations, the great and positive influence on the revolutionary clergy was faithfully reported. For example, as a body of men, the clergy were preeminent in their attachment to liberty. The pulpits of the land rang with the notes of freedom. That was from the American Quarterly Register magazine, 1833. If Christian ministers had not preached and prayed, there might not have been no revolution. Or if it had broken out, it might have been crushed. British Periodical, 1856. The ministers of the Revolution were, like their Puritan predecessors, bold and fearless in the cause of their country. No class of men contributed more to carry forward the Revolution and to achieve our independence than did the ministers. Their prayers, their patriotic sermons, and the services they rendered, in this they rendered the highest assistance to the civil government, the army, and their country. B.F. Morris, historian, 1864. The Constitutional Convention and the written Constitution were the children of the pulpit. Alice Baldwin, historian, 1918. Had ministers been the only spokesman of the rebellion, had Jefferson, the Adamses, and James Otis never appeared in print, the political thought of the Revolution would have followed almost exactly the same line because it was based on the sermons of these patriot ministers. Clinton Rossiter, the historian, 1953. The American clergy were faithful exponents of the fullness of God's Word, applying its principles to every aspect of life, thus shaping America's institutes and culture. They were also at the forefront of proclaiming liberty, resisting tyranny, and opposing any encroachments on God-given rights and freedoms. In 1898, Methodist bishop and church historian Charles Galloway rightly observed of these ministers, "Mighty men they were, of iron nerve and strong hand and unblanched cheek and heart of flame. God needed not reeds shaken by the wind, not men clothed in soft raiment, but heroes of hardihood and lofty courage. And such were the sons of the mighty who responded to the divine call." But the ministers during the revolutionary period were not necessarily unique. They were simply continuing what ministers had been doing to shape American government and culture in the century and a half preceding the American Revolution. Yes, they were. I'm calling you out, you purported men of God, you hypocrites. Preach the Word of God. Tell the truth. What are you afraid of? They're going to take your tax-exempt status away? Let them. Who cares? Preach the Word of God. Tell the people the truth. You hypocrites. You're not of God. You're not speaking God's word. You are not of God. You are of the devil. Wake up, folks. If you go to your church and your minister's not talking about what's happening in this country, the kicking out of Almighty God, and that's all caps, you need to find another church. You need to find another church. Because your minister, he's not talking to God. He's not, the Holy Spirit isn't in him. I'm not kidding. What is wrong with these people? Hypocrites. God, just... I'm going to finish this when I get back. This is a great, great, great article. It's long, but I'm going to get through it because it's firing me up. And I hope it is you too. This is Clearing the Air. My name is Terry.